We all know your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like notes and billing, or simply trying to make a cup of coffee, or even run to the bathroom in between appointments, constant interruptions can derail your day. This podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist for iPad, a digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients can securely check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from interruptions and make the most of your time. I've been using them for almost 3 years now, and it saves me hours in my week. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Private Practice podcast. I'm joined today by a very good friend, Gabrielle Giuliano Villani. This is actually her fourth time on here. So to those of you listening who have been on here three times, Shailene, Maureen, Michael Ashford, Yunetta, you're now in second place. So I always enjoy having you on. We are, you know, we've become good friends over the years. We've hosted an event together. We're hosting two events together in New Zealand in March. And we're going to talk today about this like move in the therapy spaces into diversification of income, because I think it's becoming not just trendy, and I don't think that's the right word, but almost necessary for a lot of people and a lot of people's nervous systems. We are both neurodivergent entrepreneurs. I cannot do the same thing over and over and over on repeat.
Yeah, I think I don't know that I've let this guilt go, but I do know is that no matter what I did, I cannot see one-on-one clients, therapy clients, and coaching clients too, back to back. I can't.
Yeah.
Therapist anymore. It just did not work for me.
Yep. And I remember thinking back, this is years ago, when I was struggling as a therapist, just energetically. And my supervisor and like mentor was like, I don't think you specifically are designed to be a therapist because of the way you absorb energy and because of how much impact it has on a day-to-day. I never understood that. This was like pre-autism ADHD discovery. So I just was like, okay, I don't understand why you're telling me this. But now I'm like, yeah, you are so right in terms of how I absorb energy, how sensitive I am to certain things, like how I experience the world in general. Yeah. And I almost have to have like this Goldilocks situation that Megan and Dr. Neff always talks about in Divergent Conversations of like, everything has to be just right.
Yeah.
And otherwise my days are ruined. And I also feel like when I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again, the walls feel like they're closing in.
Me too.
Do you ever experience that as an ADHDer?
Yes, I do.
Probably 200 streams of revenue and income.
I need that to get me excited and for multiple dopamine hits. But
yeah.
I mean, really, I always said, like when I was getting my master's, I was like, I'm never going to be a therapist. That is so not me. That is not for me.
Sure.
And it just ended up being this way. And I also didn't realize about the energy absorption either. And I think this is one of the things that has been very eye-opening after the ADHD diagnosis is I thought everybody just experienced the world the same way.
Yeah.
And it turns
totally
out they don't.
Right. Because like, how could we know any differently if we're experiencing our inner world like this? And I have had those thoughts so often, like, you mean not everyone is so impacted by all of the sensory stuff all of the time? Like, not everyone is going home and like completely fucking crashing after socializing or having to host or having to absorb. People are just going on with their day. Like, that's wild to me.
I simply can't.
I know.
Simply cannot. And I also just didn't even realize the things that I was taking on. And I actually remember the first time that I did realize it, I was doing EMDR with a client and she was like verbally processing. And this was like towards the end, actually. I think it was like right before I sold my practice. And she was talking and I was like, do you have like a gut feeling in your stomach right now? She's like, yeah, it's exactly how it feels. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling that. Why am I feeling what you're feeling? I thought like there was something like that was making me anxious, but it's not, it's you. And that, yeah, that happens all the time, even when I try very hard to set boundaries.
Yep. Energetically, it's a lot, you know, as our neurotypes are so sensitive to picking up on other people's energy as well, and just how it impacts us simultaneously. So it's challenging. And when I start to think about like this movement into diversification, because I see all the webinars and trainings and hell, even our event, right? Like moving beyond private practice, diversifying income streams. I think that a lot of us want and need that freedom, the autonomy, the space that we don't often have when our weeks and months are so contingent on appointment after appointment after appointment.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it does feel really good. I think it's hard to just get started. It's always hard in the beginning. But I think now, like, I literally sold like 2 courses last night. Is that a ton of money? No, but it was like literally while I was sleeping and I woke up this morning and I was like, cool.
Yeah.
$200.
Sure. No, totally. People buy my retreat planning manual. Like I'm like, oh, there's an extra source of revenue. Right. And I think for me, it's even beyond like the money that can be made. Like, that's great. I like the fact that my career has taken me outside of the therapy room. To places that I really have never thought that I would end up. But it really is more about like the freedom for me. And if I always anchor into the acknowledgement that I need freedom to be creative, I need time and space, and doing something over and over and over again in a repetitive manner is really, in my mind, like, so it feels like torture-ish. And to all of you who are like, this is my jam. I love seeing therapy clients every day, 7, 8 a day, 5 a day, 4 a day, whatever, rinse and repeat. This is great. More power to you. Not going to knock it at all, because not everyone is built or designed or has the desire to be more entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. But those who do, I think the common theme and question is like, but where do I get started? And what if it's not successful?
And those are real things that can happen. Mm-hmm. Things do fail.
All the time.
But you don't know if you don't try. Sorry to be cheesy about it, but it's true. And I think the same thing, like freedom is my number one, like core value. I need freedom. And I understand that this is very privileged, that I don't start my day before 10 a.m. I'm awake, but I'm not taking meetings. I want to go to Greece and Spain. I want to go to New Zealand. I want to, I don't know, sleep in or not work late or whatever it is. Like, I need to live my life the way that I need to live it. And I know that for myself is very, very important, and my own nervous system. And I can't be creative and successful when I'm not that way. And I know that is a fact for me personally, because when I have more freedom, I am more creative. And I have that expansive space for more things that are aligned to keep coming in.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, you didn't start there. I think that's important for people to hear. Like,
we didn't.
I did not start where I'm at today back in 2015 when I got my master's. And I always talk about this. Like, I always thought the end game was community mental health. Very quickly realized it was not. And then I thought the end game was like private practice. Very quickly realized, like, I can't do this over and over and over again. Like, for me, this just doesn't work. You start to almost think like, is there something wrong with me? Is there a reason why I can't be like satisfied in what I'm doing, or why it just doesn't feel as fulfilling as it used to? Come to find out, like, oh, ADHD has a lot to do with that.
Yes, it does.
And I, you know, you get into this mindset of like the grass is always greener, and I'm finding like I need to chase the stimulation and the dopamine and the excitement. Before I had the language for it, I just assumed like I just am one of those people who will never be fulfilled. And that is not a good feeling. Like, that's not a good feeling to be anchored into. Come to understand my neurology And the reason behind it, I'm like, okay, this makes so much more sense. So now leaning into more like intuition and energy and the interests and really pursuing the things that spark me and light me up. But it took a long time of navigating, like juggling different things and trying different things to figure out what is it that gives me that joy and that satisfaction. And that also changes. Like that changes seasonally in our careers. And we have to allow for that to happen, opposed to like shaming ourselves for quote unquote never seeing something through or changing my mind too much or not completing a project and allowing for that to be a part of the process.
Well, that's where you got to let go of like the shoulds, right? That's what I try and tell myself, which is, you know, of course, easier said than done, but like,
for sure,
I should do this. I should do it that way. Well, I don't want to. There are people, and I am kind of jealous of them sometimes, who are just like, a job is just a job. I just work this so I can make money. And then I can, you know, I actually remember in Belize, not during a retreat, like after when I was on vacation, and I was sitting across from like this young couple on their honeymoon, and they were talking about their jobs, and they were like, yeah, they're like kind of boring. I do like, I'm like a data analyst or some shit. And they're like, but it allows us to do this. And so it's just like, you know, just a job. And
it's a means to an end.
Can't live like that. It doesn't work.
No. And I think that's hard. Like you said, becoming like kind of not, jealous, resentful, envious, whatever it is of like, how come I can't just do that? Like, how come I can't just have a job and that can be enough? And it's not how I'm designed. And really, like you said, letting go of the shoulds of, I should be able to do that. I should be focusing on this thing. And I think when we're talking about diversification and potentially moving beyond one-on-one therapy, there's so much comparison culture because social media exists. And we were just talking with your husband about his social media account. Shout out to POV Kitchen. Follow them on Instagram. Because he's like trying to get it off the ground. And we're talking about vanity metrics versus engagement. I think engagement is crucial. And that comes with being authentic. I think that comes with like consistency, but also authenticity. We have to let go of this, like, this is how I'm supposed to be perceived mentality as mental health professionals who own our own businesses, because our skill sets are so applicable and useful in so many different arenas. And I think we have to acknowledge that and anchor into that too. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Alma. When I first decided to go in network with insurance, I found the whole process overwhelming. I can actually remember a couple of days that made me want to cry, where I spent hours on the phone being transferred or hung up on or not given clear answers or instructions. I knew I needed to get paid, and I also knew that I didn't know if I could do this by myself. If you're running into those same challenges, Alma can help. They made it easy to get credentialed a lot faster, handled all of the paperwork, and offered way better rates than I could have gotten on my own. They also make sure I get reimbursed within 2 weeks of every session so that I know when I'm getting paid. Visit helloalma.com/ATPP to learn more. That's helloalma.com/ATPP. Hey everyone, it's Patrick with All Things Private Practice, and I just want to invite you to join us in Scotland for our second Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit. That's happening July 14th to the 17th of 2025. We have 12 amazing speakers, 12 MBC CEs available in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The link is in my show notes and on my website at allthingspractice.com. You can also join us in Greece in September if you're a leader or wanting to start a group practice. We have a leadership retreat happening on the island of Crete from September 6th to the 11th. Honestly, one of the most beautiful villages I've ever been to in Hania. And then in 2026, we have limited spots available in two different New Zealand retreats. One is for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, March 1st to the 8th of 2026. And then beyond private practice, moving beyond one-on-one therapy, creating alternative streams of income. That's March 15th to the 22nd, 2026 in Queenstown, New Zealand. Check the links. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway.
I think therapists get very like, sorry, not trying to be like rude or shame people. I think that oftentimes, and I know this from like coaching them and myself, too, that like very narrow minded of just like, everybody knows how to do that. Everybody knows this. You think that because you are a therapist and you're surrounded by therapists, but people out in the world don't know what mindfulness is, or they don't I don't even know all the things that we talk about all the time, coping skills and distress tolerance. Like they don't, they think they know that, but they don't. And you need to, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like you need to package it differently because everybody needs that and you can teach them that. But if you use therapist speak, then it's not going to land with them. So I always think like what's in it for them? Well, if I'm about burnout and like wellness and blah, 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 I'm not going to come and be like, I'm going to teach you about polyvagal theory because they don't know what the fuck that is. But I'm going to talk about like, here's how you can help build a non-toxic workplace and retain your staff because that's what they want at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I do think that the way we market our services and the things that we do matters. I think that because so many of us have very little to zero business training in our grad school programs and in our lives, that the concept of like repackaging, repurposing, putting our skills in a different language is a foreign language in a lot of ways. And that's where so many people get stuck, because I unfortunately have had so many conversations with people who have such great ideas about retreats, coaching programs, podcast, whatever. But because they can't make their ideas relatable, it's really hard to get off the ground. And they struggle to either sell them or to actually bring them to life. And then they feel really bad about themselves. They feel really demoralized because it's like, I see everyone else doing this. How come I can't? And I think social media does play a negative role in that, where you are like seeing, you're just like not seeing behind the curtain in a lot of ways.
It's all fake.
Like 99% of it is fake. Yeah.
Like that's really important to remember, because I know I would talk about this with my social media manager sometimes, and I would be like, why do these little influencer bitches get these $1 million brand deals or whatever? And she's like, it's fake. I have been in this industry for a long time. Like, yes, it is real. She's like, but a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. People lie. People are in debt. People lie all the time. So just try and remember that. For that's one thing I wanted to say. And the second thing, as far as like selling and business and things like that, is that's completely true. And it made me think, last week I did a webinar with the funnel doctor, Ryan, who does our ads. And he was talking about funnels, and this was all therapists, and they were all like, I don't know what that is. I've never heard that before. What does that mean? And you already have a funnel. If you're a therapist, you have a ways, right, to get your clients into the door, and then you have a process. They fill out contact form, you call them, you check their benefits, you do a consult, you get them scheduled. Like that is your funnel for therapy. You need to think of the same thing to happen for your other business too.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to just see people posting online and they're like, oh my God, they sold out their retreat in one day. They did this, they did that. Like you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You only see a little bit.
No. And I'll be real transparent about that. That's a great point. Gabrielle and I, okay, so today's June 4th because the episode, I don't know when this is going to come out, just for frame of reference. Last week, or was it earlier this week? I don't remember when you and I met about New Zealand. I think it was last week. I was very jet lagged from coming back from my Spain retreat. So time, what the fuck is time? We were talking about like, okay, our neurodivergent retreat in New Zealand sold out really quickly. Okay, we probably should have doubled down on that and done two of those, right? Because there's a lot of interest in the neurodivergent spaces. Our diversifying income stream retreat beyond private practice, whatever the hell we're calling it, has had a harder time. We're trying to brainstorm creative ideas on how to sell this, how to get people to this event that I think is going to be life-changing, once in a lifetime, and amazing. I can stand behind that and really believe that that is true. It's not like smoke and mirrors of like coming to New Zealand, but then you get there and we're actually like in New Jersey. Like this is a real event happening in a bucket list destination. it's still hard to sell the spots despite having audiences, despite having done this many times. Like, spots are hard to sell. So I want you all to hear that if you're just starting out and you see us selling out events, or you've looked at my stuff over the last 4 years and you're like, Patrick always sells his stuff out. It's so much work. It is so much stress. Yes. There's so much doubt behind the scenes of like, is this actually going to work? Despite New Zealand being like my 22nd event in the last 4 years, that stuff is still very real.
Mm-hmm. That needs space to land.
Yep. And of course, creatively, I thought, well, what if I send an email to people who've come to every single event that I've ever had, letting them know that this is probably going to be my last event? And there's a lot of truth to that in this current moment. We might get to next year and that may change, but that's the season of life that I feel like I'm in right now. And then we had like 5 signups in one day. And it's just fascinating, you know, what people are drawn to. I know people are drawn to urgency, and I try really hard not to market that way because it feels disingenuous to me. I don't want to take advantage of anyone's like neurotype, especially the ADHDers out there who are like, oh my God, one spot left, urgency, 24 hours to do this thing, urgency. So I try really hard to just be like, hey, here's this incredible experience. Do with it what you will. But I do believe that it is an incredible experience. And the things that I've learned along the way is the more authentic I am to talk about the self-doubt behind the scenes for someone who has had, quote unquote, a lot of success over the last 4 years in this realm, normalizes it for everyone else who's just starting out or is having a hard time getting their thing, their goal brought into the world and successfully created, launched, sold out, however you want to quantify or label success. This self-doubt, perfectionism, anxiety, I don't love the word imposter syndrome anymore, but we'll throw that in the mix. It is very real, no matter what stage of the journey that you're on. And if someone is telling you it's not, that should be a red flag.
It is always there. I think it just...
always.
And I just try, I mean, I do roll with it because I think I do, but I try and remember too that like the life I'm living now is a life that I dreamed about. And so even though like same thing, like my Costa Rica retreat still has 2 rooms left and even slower than I like it to, but I'm like, what if whatever, I'm fine if we only have these, we have like 8 people signed up. So I'm like, that's fine. If that's just 8, that's totally fine. If we get the other 2 rooms sold, that's great too. I have to just like let go of that. And I stop me from keep putting it out there because I am doing it. But it just, you have to surrender and let go of the outcomes a little bit.
So hard.
I don't like to do like the urgency of like, oh, 1 room left, blah, blah, blah. I hate doing that too. But it's true. At the same time, I'm like, there really is only 2 rooms left.
Yeah, it's a both and, right? Like there is duality to marketing. It can feel kind of cringy in times and it can also be really real. And I think good marketing is just good storytelling.
Yeah.
That's always the way I view it. Like that's why I try to be as relatable and as authentic as I can be. And in reality, like what you just said is so important, like the surrendering when we're thinking about diversification and creating alternative streams of income, the surrendering to it is important and it's really fucking hard. Like anytime I'm marketing with panic, insecurity, scarcity, anxiety, it's going to feel that way on the people who are receiving the message. It's probably going to lead to more unsubscribes on my email list. Probably going to lead to more unfollows. It's definitely not going to lead to conversions. When I'm allowing myself to just be comfortable with the uncomfortable and to really embrace like the outcome is going to be the outcome and I'm going to do this with integrity and authenticity, it works out so much better. And I've really had to retrain my brain because that's not how I am naturally wired. I am such an anxious human who is worried about all of the outcomes all the time. But the surrendering is really, really important. And for you with Costa Rica, 8 spots, 10 spots, you know, you're going to do a hell of a job with 8 people or 10 people, right? Like they're going to come away with a great experience. And what I had to teach myself early on when I was launching like coaching programs. Whether one person signs up or 10, you do a hell of a job for that one person or those 10 people. And that is going to lead to word of mouth. That's going to lead to testimonials. That's going to lead to like momentum. And really backing that, for those of you listening about like starting a coaching program, a podcast, a membership program, like a retreat, anything, do the best fucking job that you can. Collect testimonials, show up authentically, use it for marketing content, for video content, etc. Use it to create a catalyst for momentum. And that for me has been really important over the last 5 years.
In Zumba.
I'm an avid Zumba participant, just so everyone knows that.
Yeah, he is.
I have the moves and mobility of maybe like a 200-year-old tree.
Happen in real time.
Yeah. I am really good at singing songs, though, if we're drunk in Ireland, like walking down alleyways. So hire me for that if you're interested.
You don't even need to be drunk. No.
Yeah.
But at Zumba, we say like the same thing. And I think of it the same way as like, and I have had this happen many times, especially when I started a new class in a new place. One person shows up and I'm like, well, I'm going to teach for this one person the same way I would if there was 100 people in here. And it really does work. And it totally is the same with everything that we're talking about here. And I agree that like when you are urgent and panicky, people feel that even maybe subconsciously. And I also think like a lot of us lead with like, here's everything you're going to get. You're going to get CDs and this and $500 off. And there's 3 spots left. Like that doesn't really sell usually.
Dreams.
No. But what sells is like, what do people want from this? They want to make more money. They want to diversify income streams. They want to feel less burnt out. Like those are the things that you need to think about and anchor into is more of like the transformation, less about like, here are the key features of this retreat.
Those the key features are important, like they're foundational, but they're also like ancillary benefits, you know, like those are like the expectations and the terms and condition types of stuff that like, this is what you're going to receive. The psychological and emotional experience of whatever you're trying to launch and sell to someone, that's really the takeaway. Like, yes, come to New Zealand because it's fucking New Zealand. Yeah. But in reality, like, and I've acknowledged this in past events, especially recently, the behind the scenes, like the people connecting with each other, the contagious energy, just the thing that happens when you step out of your comfort zone as a human, not only to you personally, but professionally, when you take a risk, when you kind of like bet on yourself or take that leap in that direction, that's the stuff that is really the important quote unquote marketing of the event or the cohort or the coaching program or whatever you're launching. And that's the stuff that people sometimes struggle to anchor into, but that is the stuff that people want. And that's the stuff that you're going to like put out into the world and deliver onto.
Exactly. And like talking about that and not being afraid to talk about it because that's what you're doing and you're already doing it. Yep. So I'm not going to tell people how to feel, but don't be afraid.
Out yourself and do it anyway, you know?
Exactly. You have to, because I've been trying to think about that more. I just think about like where I started and where I am now. And I never, ever, ever thought that like this would be my life. I wanted it, but I didn't know how to get there. And now I'm here. So
I made a post about pivoting my career the other day and kind of acknowledged all the things that I've done since starting this journey back in 2020. And if I zoom out on that, I'm like, I didn't know how to do any of this. I didn't even know like 90% of it was possible. So I think it is about like embracing that unknown and stepping out of your comfort zone, taking more risks and really moving towards the things that light you up and anchoring into your core values and let that be the compass. Because I think that the journey can be a really magical one and one that you never expected to experience. And I just think that for me is really the takeaway.
I agree 100%. And just being open and saying yes. And I feel like once I shifted my own like mindset and my own energy and like letting go a lot of these limiting beliefs, it really did work and
brought
more things that I wanted in my life.
100%. So with that being said, I don't know when this is going to air for everyone still listening. We might have a New Zealand spot left for March of 2026. We might not. Gabrielle might have those two spots left for Costa Rica. She might not, because I think this will air after you and I are in Scotland at my Doubt Yourself Do It Anyway Summit. So we'll see what happens. But nevertheless, you know, I think that's another thing I never thought I would be saying, that we will be seeing each other in Scotland next month and having this event. So, you know, I really think acknowledging, for those of you who are listening, who are mental health professionals specifically, when you're starting to tell yourself like, this is not possible for me because I don't know how to do it, just know that that is a belief that we can dismantle. Because I know when you surround yourself with people who are saying like, that's not a thing you can do, it's very easy for you to allow that to kind of guide you and dictate how you move forward. Just surround yourself with people who are doing cool shit. I think that's my takeaway for this as well.
That is huge also, is like, because when you do have people around you who are naysayers or like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not good energy and it's not going to help you. You need people who are going to build you up and be like, fuck yes, you can do that. Let me help you. How can I support you? I will like your social media posts. I will hear stuff. Like, you need people like that in your circle, because that will 100% build you up. And I will tell you too, like, I have had so many people say things like that to me, online courses. Yeah. Well, how are you going to sell shit on Etsy? Don't sell your practice. You're a failure. And it's not helpful once those ideas get into your head, which is why we're into to do whatever you need to do, like whatever your practice is, to like anchor into your own values, what you want to do and how you want to live your life.
100%. Well, thank you for coming on again and being on here four times. I'm sure there will be a fifth at some point in time. Come see us in all of these cool locations, you know, pick our brains, and hope to see y'all in New Zealand, in Greece and Spain and Scotland and Costa Rica and all of these places and beyond. So Gabrielle, tell the audience where they can find what you've got going on, and we will include it in the show notes as well.
Thank you. I'm pretty easy to find because I have a pretty unique name. So Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, my website are all Gabrielle Giuliano Villani. My Instagram is GJV Consulting. My Etsy is GJV Consulting. And I have two Facebook groups, Medicare Consulting for Therapists and Create an Abundant Group Practice.
Gotta love it. That's an ADHD mind in real time. So we will have all of her links on the show notes, so you have easy access to Gabrielle's information if you want to go on that Costa Rica retreat. I believe it's happening this fall. Is it October or November?
November 2nd to the 7th.
2nd to the 7th. So check that out as well. For everyone listening to this podcast, new episodes are out on Saturdays. Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway. I'll see you next week. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Jennifer and I want to thank Headway for sponsoring this episode and our Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Scotland Summit. Taking insurance as a group practice should not have to feel like three full-time jobs. Headway fixes that. They're the only platform built for in-network groups that gives you the tools, support, and stability you need to offload admin and take insurance as a team. With better reimbursement rates, faster credentialing, and bi-weekly payments you can count on, Headway empowers your group practice to focus less on claims and more on your clients. Visit resources.headway.co/ATPP. That's resources.headway.co/ATPP to see how Headway can help you scale your team without the stress.